Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the New Orleans Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. We are here today, Friday. Here we are, ready to do a show. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. We will be closing the show a little bit early today, but we have a good 45 minutes to chat. Oh. Our callers and listeners can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. I don't know where my brain is today. Facebook and on Twitter, those accounts are linked on our blog talk radio profile, Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic, where you may follow us as well. Again, that call-in number is 914-338-0164. And hopefully we'll hear from some of you today. What are we talking about, Neil? I don't think we prepared any topic together.
We always have a topic.
Well, there's always a topic floating around in the stratosphere somewhere, but we didn't actually confer on that matter.
Well, it's astral field.
Yeah. Oh, is that what we're talking about?
The astral field is important to talk about. That's where the birth of Earth took place.
We're talking
and
about
where
the
some
astral
of the events
field.
Are being designated, the origin of our planet has a premise in the astral realm, and now you're talking about the stratosphere. You know, we've got problems with our climate. We've got problems with all kinds of things, more or less being concerned about the war in Ukraine, the rise of China, or somebody slapping somebody across the face during a Academy Award show. We've got other concerns to also think about. One of those immediate concerns is our climate. That climate basis has to do with human consciousness. We're either going to become aware immediately of what our bigger problems are and reduce as much as we can these smaller things instead of talking for weeks about the slap.
Well,
we should be, every newspaper should have on their front page climate, the potential threats of climate change and what we are doing to our planet, because it's our predictions that within 10 years we could be in a
serious
reversible dire
nuclear
situation.
War type situation. But I mean, the fact is those that are in power don't want the citizens to mobilize and you know, fight back against climate change, which is engineered for sure. I mean, aside from the fact that we're depleting our resources, our natural resources, and that contributes to climate change, but there is a dark agenda going on. I mean, weather can be controlled. That's a fact. And it is. Even in Hurricane Katrina, I mean, they talk about the fact that that was that weather event was an event that was created. I mean, there's some that think that. And as far as the slap is concerned, whether it was real or staged or not, Pfizer was the sponsor of the Academy Awards, and they're actually releasing the first drug to treat alopecia. So it's quite a coincidence that this controversy over a joke, which, by the way, I mean, in my estimation, had nothing to do with alopecia. It was a comparison to a character in a movie being bald. Jada Pinkett was compared to this character. But now, you know, it's given rise to this talk about alopecia and more awareness. And of course, Pfizer's releasing this drug for alopecia. So, you know, it's just a little bit too convenient.
When last I heard, Alouette is up and all.
Jonte Alouette, okay.
But, Jonte is a grower. But, you know, you can't get away from it. It's always going to come down to some form of violence. But then again, we've got in our show, as far as the little tiny dot on the map, in our show, less than a dot, but as preachers, broad audience, we are here to keep abreast of not just psychic information and what the guides and the spirits are saying and who was Cleopatra in their past life, but we're also here to get through those clouds and land on Earth and talk about the premise of what is in our immediate environment. And I believe that what is in our immediate environment does have a link to some higher program going on, some higher confirmation of events that is possibly managed by higher beings and whatever, wherever we came from, that includes our concern about the planets whenever we do the show, and our concerns about how this world is going and where it's going, perhaps predictions. And we've got a caller, so of course we always stop the discussions for our callers because that's what we're here for. So
yeah, let's bring on is Sherry. She's 411-73.
Hey, I was just listening, guys, but good morning.
Oh, okay. Did you have a question or did you just want to listen?
I'm just going to listen, if that's okay.
That is totally fine.
Though.
Yeah, she's 411-73. Well, press 1 if you change your mind. We'll put you on mute now.
Awesome.
Okay.
You know, it is, we live in our worlds and we have the right to be concerned about our own lives. We have that right. There's nothing to minimize the fact that we want to know when that house is going to be sold or who's going to be, we're going to fall in love with. Will I get that job? Will my disease go away? We all have the right to be concerned about our own individual space and our own environment. So we're not saying that that isn't important. That is of the utmost importance, granted by the fact that we reduce our conversations to any caller that calls in. We recognize that people have individual needs and that everything has to be centered around a global dilemma. But on the other hand, when we don't have callers or when somebody just wants to listen, we can expand our multiple choices into discussing what the world, what's going on in the world, what we should be concerned about, in addition to information about the chakra systems, the spirits and guides and ghosts, the angels, numerology, things like this. I think it's important that when one wakes up, as Benjamin Franklin said, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and compromised. Oh, I didn't know why. the idea that I think our waking hours should not just be filled with the drudgery of doing chores. It should be filled with information gathering, concern, activation, participation, awareness, meditation, and activation. These are things that are very important. And God knows there's enough going on in the world. You can take your choice. You can have one thing you want to do, or you could bundle them up into big packages of endeavors and the motivation to be involved in whatever concerns you about this planet.
I'll remember that when I'm sweeping leaves all day long.
Yeah. So in that regard, you know, sweeping leaves is reading books, so I'm just complimenting her.
Right.
That's what leaves are called in books.
Well, yeah, obviously. But
the idea that...
I'd be turning leaves if I was reading, of course.
Well, you could be sweeping them if you're a sweep reader.
If you don't
turn,
right.
You sweep. I tend to exercise my speed reading abilities, because God knows, how can you get through everything in a day?
I took a course in speed reading, actually. I did.
You did?
Yeah, I mean, but I always read fast. I always read fast. But of course, if you are a fast reader, sometimes you speed by things that you don't digest, or you digest it. But maybe the depth of, I mean, if you're reading like literature, it's not to be read through Ulysses. Right.
And James Joyce would slap your hand if you did. But, or the Bible for that matter, or any other, the Quran.
Well, that's what I definitely speed read through, the Bible.
For the first 10 years of my life, when people said, have you read Psalms? I thought they were saying palms. And so I went into fortune reading regarding a palmistry until I realized, No. That's a book.
As if you didn't know that.
And then I thought Proverbs was something to do with English literature and the punctuation. So I went into looking at verbs and pronouns. But then at one point in my life, I decided, oh, I see, it's about the Bible. So I sped read through the Bible and got nothing out of it. And that's why I'm speaking today about nothing. But on the other hand, we have to be very aware, not just of our current events, but how the current events affect our nervous system, what it does to our brains. Now, some people decide to turn their brains off when they hear too much. They just don't want to get involved.
Right. They want to, I mean, because it's traumatic for them to hear that, you know, hear negative information,
too much
to handle, and they can't get out of their own little world. So it's easier to stay with your, you know, bury your head in the sand.
I once encountered a man who said to me, I don't talk about anything because it's gossip and I don't indulge in gossip. But to him, the word gossip engulfed everything. Political parties, world events, the neighborhood, everything was gossip. So he just didn't do anything. But, you know, maybe I went to the store and they have a sale on bread. When we talk about the usage of knowledge and information, I mean, the brain is able to, actually the brain is able to store massive amounts of information. Everything that the world has collected so far, the brain can store, considering that there's at least maybe 90% of the brain we're not using, a large percentage of that is in our frontal brain. So the idea that we can capture all information. We have fallen short of that, so we have artificial intelligence that helps not only to compute and hold, but also to register how to arrange events to the next step, including predictions of the future. I mean, I looked at a computer once that was predicting the future, and I said to it, get in line, you know, blew a fuse, because they do listen. Our phones listen to us. You know, you talk about health issues, and suddenly the phone is giving you all kinds of advertisements about health issues.
Facebook, yeah.
Facebook.
You have an algorithm. And even if you opt not to be listened to, because there's an option not to be listened to, I believe that they listen anyway.
Oh, yeah. It's like the guy that covers his ears, he can still hear you.
Right.
So, you know, let's not forget Hal, who could hear through walls. He read lips. So it is, you know, our topics might get out of hand. They might seem sloppy when we guard the margins of speech, but we do overlap. And I think that in overlapping the multitude of information that we can share with anybody over 2 hours during the week is enough in and of itself, more or less giving readings. But when we don't have readings, we just don't want to bat the breeze and talk about Casey at the bat. We want to talk about what is important.
Why would we talk about Casey at the bat?
Casey at the bat.
I don't think
poem.
So. Yeah, I'm aware what the poem is.
But
why would
Casey,
we discuss that anyway?
But, you know, well, I mean, it is literature. And when we get into that, we get into folklore. Everything has a connection.
Then maybe we should talk about Casey at the bat.
We could be talking about Casey at the bat. Folklore is a nice pastime. It's an enrichment of carving into the imaginative brain and telling stories. And folklore is more or less something that you do around a campfire or with a piece of straw in your mouth and you're batting the breeze and you talk about old legends or fables, stories that perhaps were real, but maybe not. When we're talking about predictions of the future, it's not exactly folklore, but it's premonitions. Some of those premonitions are to be taken seriously. We live in a serious world right now. We always have, but now everything's global. And as we have now arranged our thinking into creating instruments of destruction that are massive, we have now reached the ability to completely annihilate the human race. Not one person left, maybe one, same as Wimble Lord. But there's other aspect of the time zone that we live in regard to the events of the planet and how we just can't read the news and fall into sorrow or depression or concern. There's got to be something more than that that expands our nerve cells and gives us a reason to act and not just to lament or despair. Now, in that energy, we have what is called, in my mind, the active brain and the inactive brain. The noun is brain, so it's going to be doing something. But in terms of our world situation, are you an active brain? That means you do something actively. Or are you an inactive brain? That means you know about things, but that's about it. You're knowledgeable. You're worldly in terms of keeping abreast of the news. You watch Fox News, CNN, read the papers, get the magazines, discuss it with people. But then you have active brain. The active brain is connected to our nervous system. Some of us just don't have it. It's not in our DNA. Others create it and make it our DNA. But in regard to assuming that this is an hour of valuable information that must be heard. And our radio show goes all over China, Russia,
well, I don't
Germany,
know. I don't know if it goes in
Japan. Oh,
well,
I know it does.
No. In China, they may not have access to our radio show.
I talked to the chairman.
Oh. Well, anyway, in Russia, I don't think so because they're very limited as far as the information that they get from the media.
I've had a Russian tell me that he heard his
in fact
from his country.
Well, anyway, yeah. Okay.
So
okay.
The network system, you know, they have ways of expanding and beating the blocks and blockades.
Oh, I know there are. And there was someone actually in the figure skating world that I don't remember if it was a Chinese skater, but they somehow got around the block for Instagram and was able to post,
yeah.
And they got into trouble. But yeah, of course, people can circumvent,
yeah,
you know, a system that's in place to prevent the dissemination of knowledge.
Well, we crack codes all the time.
So, but I mean, as far as it being readily available, are people clamoring in China
listen
to our show? Probably not.
No, we're not in that category, but it does leak out and get out there. And I think that's important. So when we think about these things, and the key word is think, that means sending out brainwaves. Brainwaves are not just inclusive of the body. We send out energy constantly. And those energies go as far as the reaches of space, in my concern.
So
they send out messages through our brain.
Right. So the interesting thing is when you're a psychic and you really have a grasp of how to work with energy, you can send your thought patterns out in order to, you know, prompt someone to call or impact their lives in a positive way with energy work. I mean, that's the height of sending brain waves out and having them impact.
That's a good matter you brought up. I was sending out a wavelength with somebody to call. I got my C mixed up with a B, and somebody called and said they got their girlfriend pregnant. So the idea of you gotta get the spelling right.
Yeah.
So what we have is inward messaging and outward messaging, and that includes anything that that individuals do as well as psychics. Inward messaging is wiring the message within the body that helps to promote a healthy system, a balanced system. Outward and outward messaging is meant to help others. You can do it simultaneously. You can do it in parts. You can percentage-wise, you can maximize or minimize. But that's those that sacrifice their lives for others. The energy field is so maximized for others that it even says in scripture, the greatest thing a human being can do is give their life for another at the sacrifice of their own life. That sacrifice is measured by what they have sacrificed. What they have sacrificed, if they've sacrificed an abundance of happiness and stability for the sake of saving somebody else, then the greater is the outlook of that person's sacrifice. If we give a dollar, if we're millionaires and we give $5 to some guy on the freeway entrance with, you know, with a sign in his hand, that's a sacrifice, but it's not a maximum. It's not sacrifice.
Well, even if you're a millionaire and give hundreds of thousands in donations every year to causes, that's not, I mean, you know, that can only be measured. The measurement is only, it goes so far because sacrificing hundreds of thousands of dollars when you've got multi-million isn't, you know, that's not going to hold a lot of weight.
The Bible says, you know, give a tenth of your income to tithes to donation box. So you give a tenth. That seems to be the raw material of donation. But, you know, the church is also defined as the universe. It's just not giving to the church per se, but there is a meaning behind that. But giving to, quote, the church is the church of life.
Right. So you're getting into the idea of, you know, supporting organizations that help wildlife or animals, things like that, or whatever cause that you might think is important, you know, helping people that are disabled or disadvantaged children, all those qualify for the tithing. I think the Bible is talking about,
right.
Doesn't necessarily mean you need to donate to a church, an actual religious institution.
Yeah. I mean, and then it goes into the idea of the sacrifice of taking in. Biden administration is now talking about taking in a certain percentage of refugees from the Ukraine. You know, or how much do we allow people to cross cross the border and come in? Asylum seekers and people who are running from oppressed countries and crime and corruption. Then we talk about the widespread use of violence. These guns, these snap guns or whatever they're called, that are coming out, that you can modify ghost guns and modify it in such a way that they have snap triggers and they shoot out bullets all over the place. So innocent people are involved in the circumference of what the main target is supposed to be. But with the idea that you immobilize your society and show power. And that also extends from the abuse of anger, bribery, tribal zones. So when we get into this idea of trying to share all of this stuff in a short period of time for the sake of time, instead of just gossiping the hour away, waiting for a caller, I think that in some ways, we make a small contribution, ethically speaking. Our contribution, we pay for the show, it's not free.
Right,
it's
and it's our time.
It's a substantial year amount we donate. And do we get something out of it? Well, yeah, we get something out of it. We're on the air and we get to talk to people. But the point is that there's no promise of return. It's not an investment. This is not an investment, unless you call it an investment of concern, an investment of care, and doing it the best way we can, given other circumstances. So I once talked to a psychic who I said, "Oh, you're doing a radio show now." "Yeah, yeah." "Well, when's your next show?" "Oh, I stopped." "Why?" "I wasn't making enough money. You know, people just want to call in and complain and get a reading, but they don't book a reading. So I just gave it up. I think it's a waste of time. They're all users." Took a pause, and I thought, "Boy, what a spiritual person."
Well, so being psychic and being spiritual are not, you know, one and the same.
Right. But they should be linked.
They should be linked, but they're often not. They're often not linked.
When God, when
six
we
is
say mind, seven. Body, and spirit, I don't think God said mind, body, and we'll stop there. I don't think he meant it that way. There's got to be the idea that we are layered. We have body, we have mind, and we have spirit. And so the concern about the existence of our planet should encompass all those three things, mind, body, mind, and spirit. Because if they do, then there's action. There's complete action. And there's not an intake of information through the mind that is perceived through the body. When there's spirit, now you have the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of activation, and there's nothing that can stop that. So even unto death, spirits can be involved in marriages, given the fact that some marriages should be ended in divorce. But we have these things that we have to consider every single day that we're alive, and to make sure that we just don't pay attention to our own individual life, but we also make, not sacrifices, but we also make human actions that involve our fellow human beings on some level and our fellow creatures. We even, you know, you see a struggling bee in water, bend down and get him out, get her out, get him out, drones. Be mindful. You know, if you have
mindful.
If you have three spiders in your rafters outside, don't use insecticide. Leave them alone.
Leave them alone. Pack on his back
and kill everything around your home.
And if you have carpet beetles, put them on the neighbor's lawn.
Yeah, put them on the neighbor's lawn. And enjoy the refreshment stands. Again, we have, in lifetime, we have a great opportunity to become engaged with life. And the soul will be gratified by that because it is important. Now, there are some people who say, "I'm engaged in life. I'm concerned about the life. I'm so concerned about some of these groups. I got my gun and went out and shot some of them." Because, they're anti-abortionists and oh my God, they want to deny the rights of sexuality in school. Oh no, I got rid of them. And you know, you can be a maniac and use a maniac form of logic, but this isn't about the destruction of life. This is about the enhancement of existence that involves diverse ideas and things like that. So, when I met Kristen and introduced her to the show, and
introduced me to the show.
In the beginning, she was somewhat reluctant.
Introduced me to the show. Well, we didn't have a show. We created the show together.
You were already on the radio.
So I
introduced you to the world of radio.
Radio, yeah. That would be a more accurate description.
And at times, she was reluctant to join in because she just thought, "Well, you know, I'm not ready for this." And I thought, "Well, all right." But then slowly but surely, and with some mild encouragement, she started to speak up and say things. At times, it was difficult for her as well as for me, because you don't want to be wrong. you're exposing yourself to a mass audience.
Right. And it's difficult to do. It's difficult to do cold readings. And it's what, especially when what you're receiving psychically, you know, is completely, I mean, it's just subjective. And then, you know, people could say, well, you know, you're fishing,
that goes on.
But when it, you know, when it's psychic, it's really psychic, and there'll
be Christ referred to fishermen, I find that to be a compliment when you're fishing. We don't fish for anything. We don't even fish and throw them away. We don't throw them back in the ocean. But the metaphorical use of the word, and then the coldness of the adjective cold readings. I don't know what a cold reading is, because every reading to me is activated. So
obviously in the terminology that I use, it means a reading that you're doing without having any prior contact with the individual you're talking to. Obviously we get repeat callers on the show. So, I mean, I guess you can't classify all the readings on the radio as cold readings, but there are plenty of people we connect with that we connect with, you know, the first time. And
I mean, it's improper to even say the word reading. I mean, what are we reading from a book? You know, I'm like, can you give me a reading? Okay. I'll read you from a Robinson Crusoe. What page do you want to hear? You know, can I have a reading?
Well, it's meaning that you're reading the person's energy. So that's what they're requesting, of their energy.
Of course. And it's a euphemism and a word usage that is convenient. And it just sums it up. But literally speaking, we're not giving readings. We're giving premonitions. We're giving extraordinary counsel. And we're giving supernatural insight. That's not a reading. You know, a reader that reads from a book, you know, books on tape, doesn't close the book and say, I'm going to think about what's in the content of this book and I'll start to recite. They read. When you read, you're looking at print. You're reading. You're not memorizing and then reciting. You're reading the book. When a psychic does a reading, it's presumed that they can look into your soul and read the content, and they read what they see. Now, when we take the word literally and say, well, I'm going to be, you know, I'm at UCLA, I'm going to be giving a reading, people don't think you're a psychic. People think you're going to recite from a book and give a dramatic representation of that book. So you're giving a reading of the book. But of course, we've distorted the language as we do with all words. And now, you know, now you go to the restroom to relieve yourself. I don't know what that, you know, how we destroy the language.
God.
But no, it's not, oh my gosh. It's a direct terminology that if a Martian were to come down and they said, can I talk to you? Oh, I got to use the restroom first. They go, these people.
Well, the bathroom would be, I mean, you'd similar because it's really the toilet room. Yeah, exactly. It'd be the toilet room if you're.
Well, it should be called the dump room, the male and female dump.
Okay. All right.
You know, the guy on.
Thank you.
The guy on Larry.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Curb Your Enthusiasm said, I want to drop some kids off at the pool.
That's Neil. Please.
Well, you know, we have these colorful
metaphors. I don't know where we're going to be.
We have these colorful metaphors that we use. And I'm getting back to the topic at hand. That when you give a reading, you're not giving a reading. Which, I mean, it's a convenient word, but you're giving, you're actually moving into a person's soul and absorbing energy in such a way that you've learned how to translate it. Whether it's visually or audibly or just through the attitude of omniscience.
Right. And it's interesting because, you know, what one receives from an individual as far as information sometimes can just be a way of hooking into that person. But then oftentimes the validations that come through in a quote unquote reading.
There you go to fishing.
I know. But that you know, there's a pathway that's leading somewhere. So a good psychic is going to be able to follow the clues like a detective and interpret why the information is coming
yeah.
and it's coming in.
I mean, in
you
the
know,
medical
sometimes
field, that might be prognosis. That might be
you mean diagnosis.
No, diagnosis would be the prognosis is
well, I know this.
The actual event for the future. How do you
well,
take
prognosis,
a massive amount of information
prognosis,
and then give it back to a person in such a way that it can be useful?
Prognosis is the ultimate conclusion or you know if someone has an illness, the prognosis for the illness is involves what's going to happen. Are they going to be killed by that illness, or is the prognosis that they're going to be able to live with the illness and survive? So, I mean, a part of medical, I mean, you diagnose as a psychic just as you diagnose as a doctor, and of course, there's a prognosis that is a part of the process of discussion in both fields.
In that terminology, a doctor can say you have 2 months to live, maybe three. That's it, and they're right. Doesn't matter. They're right because of the amount of medical evidence they have. A psychic can say, well, this is destiny. You will die. You know,
well, I mean, we'll
all
die.
Something
so.
That, according to a certain event,
yeah,
or a disease. There's also the idea that you can have an open-ended reading. I'm using the word again, but an open, it just wrinkles back.
Well,
to
I mean,
word.
We have to.
The open-ended reading
we
is
use?
That. There's nothing destiny bound here. It's energy that you can create one way or another. You can create negative energy towards the outcome or positive. So the brain takes on a certain power because of the brain stem and the spinal cord and the all the energy that goes on and the transmissions, literally speaking, and the nervous system. We can wire ourselves in such a way that we can redesign the chemistry of the body through the mere fact that we are reprogramming the content of our brain's output. And that can have remarkable effects.
On the body and...
Yeah. At some point, if it's not too late, or destiny dictates, you got to go. This is it. Your days have now been numbered, and that's it. We're all numbered.
Extent.
Numerology, too. But when we get to the... Now, when we take this out to an expansive universe, we're also talking about is our world destined for destruction? Are we following a program that we have no ability to change, to follow the program? Self-annihilation.
Annihilation.
Yeah.
That too.
I'm not the greatest speaker, but the idea that...
you're a great speaker. Sometimes your tongue gets twisted on words.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I had the misfortune of kissing Chubby Checker. And I got over it.
Okay.
But the whole idea is... And I was just asked this question yesterday. What's going to happen to our world? What's the date?
In terms of the what?
It will be World War III. And
right,
I was standing in the 2034 novel that is popular now. I think written by a writer and an admiral combined together to create one of these disaster apocalyptic novels. World War III, World War Z, you know, the end of all wars. And if that doesn't happen, will it be the comet, the asteroid? And if that doesn't happen, it will be the toxins. You know, we're just this marvel in the solar system. The most colorful marvel in the pack, but we're fragile, and we may soon become a brown planet, becoming brown. We may soon become a brown planet. If we don't pay attention that our world is made up of different colors, and we've got to preserve, if you will, those colors, whether you're white, black, brown, pale, tan, or your colored mind is bigoted or, humanistically speaking, all loving. We've got to preserve the colors of our universe. And we've got to face it, no one color should be annihilated just because they are a different color.
I feel like a Disney song should be cued at this point.
Well, you can't do South of Pacific, you can't do Zippity-Doo-Dah anymore.
It's a small, that's right, you can't. That's
now
a shame.
Obsolete.
A shame. That's a shame.
Yeah, I love that movie.
That's a shame.
But, you know, you can't do it anymore.
It's terrible. Well, I mean,
and Sleeping Beauty has to be kissed by a woman. You can't say Prince. You can't say Prince.
Well, I don't understand how Sleeping Beauty can be kissed by a woman. That's not sexual assault. I mean, because isn't that the premise that, that if a woman is kissed asleep by a man, that it's sexual assault? Well, then wouldn't a woman kissing a woman asleep still be sexual assault? Woman can't sexually assault women. It's ridiculous.
Well, but it
is that what they're doing, really, with it?
Well, they,
with a woman kissing a woman?
They assume that, you know, the man kissing the woman, whether it's Snow White or Sleeping Beauty, is a little bit, you know, did I ask you if you could kiss me? You know, so there's this rape clause in there. We've gotten to a point where we have constricted our movements in such a way that in the exposure of creating respect for all life, we have reduced ourselves to restricting the idea that there is diversity.
Yeah, it's terrible. But I mean, I think that's part of the plan to, you know,
world order, one
world
order.
Exactly, to homogenize.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything's going to happen overnight, and I think there's a massive amount of people who will always be fighting it. But if we're overwhelmed by climate damage, flooding and fires, hurricanes, I mean, we just have to wake up.
But I think the song to cue would have been "It's a Small World After All."
Yeah, that's right.
They're probably banning that ride as well because, you know.
Yeah,
the way the cultures are represented.
Small means that, you know, well, only a certain population can live in.
Oh, please. Well, anyway, well, that's the goal, isn't it? To reduce the world population.
Yeah. As they continue to want to expand it, because they don't have enough babies to support their leader.
Well, we've got a couple minutes, I think. A couple minutes. 2 minutes.
And does Sherry want to say anything?
Sherry's gone.
Oh, Sherry's gone? So much for listening.
She listened for a while. She left, came back, left.
Maybe we play the Four Seasons, she'll come back. But, It's never a waste of time to be on the airways and to talk to air. It's never a waste of time.
Well, I think there are people out there listening, not just...
No, there are.
Air.
There are. And we have tried to recite the attitude of what healthy living is about, and that includes awareness. And for those of you who listen or delve into the archives, our words hopefully are sinking in, that the seat of our consciousness is involved in the recognition of the consciousness. And that consciousness is connected to humanity. And that includes all forms of life. So
right.
I guess we'll end our, well,
I think we're ending
we'll
early.
Call it a day.
We'll call it a morning.
Call it a morning. And we will be back on the air on Wednesday.
I think so. Is that what we're doing, Wednesday? Wednesday, Friday, next week? Well, we can, if we adjust, we adjust.
What's going on next week?
I don't know. I don't think we announce what's going on next week. You have your calendar there.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I think Wednesday's
seems like
okay.
Wednesday and Friday's fine.
Yeah. Okay, so
we'll be
Wednesday
back
and
on
Friday.
April 15th. If all goes well.
Okay, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Yeah, barring any unforeseen. disasters. But of course, if we're as psychics, we're supposed to foresee disasters, so we can almost guarantee our show occurring on the 13th.
I can't say that no one's going to get slapped, but I don't think we're going to get a nuclear bomb yet.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're back on the air, like we said, on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. I guess no callers, but listeners, hopefully, and we hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in today. Bye-bye.